Welcome, friends. This is James Corbett, CorbettReport.com. Today is the 8th of July, 2013, here in Japan. It's still the 7th of July, 2013, in Oklahoma, where I'm joined on the line by today's guest, Kay Beach of AxiomForLiberty.com. Kay is a freedom activist who is living in central Oklahoma. She's on the board of directors of the Constitutional Alliance, and she is the host of a program, also by the name of Axiom for Liberty, on the Logos Radio Network on Fridays from 6 to 8 p.m. Central. Kay, it's so great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it's so good to talk to you, James, and thank you for having me.
Excellent. Well, we're here to talk about an extremely important subject, and one that I have talked about in the past on my program, so I hope that some of my listeners will already be familiar with this, but there are new people tuning in every day. So I want to talk today about biometrics and the creation of biometric ID databases and the like, and how this information could be used against us, and what you are doing to strike back against that. But before we get into all of that, I think we should probably start by just telling people what biometrics are and why this is an important topic.
Right. Biometrics is just simply means measurement of the body, and it's technology that's used to measure either behavioral or physical aspects that are unique to you. Sometimes lately, I've been referring to it as human metadata. But that information is taken and it's transformed into digital code. And that is used for the purposes of identification. And one way that I like to describe it, and I think this is very accurate, is that with biometrics, your body is your ID.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Human metadata. I like that image, because it does put it in, I think, exactly the right way. So we're talking basically about things like fingerprints, for example, the measurements of facial features and the like.
Right. Iris scans, fingerprints, DNA even. Facial recognition is one of particular concern because it allows for, at a distance, identification and tracking of human beings, which is exactly why that technology was chosen on an international level back in the early 2000s as being the government's biometric of choice. And part of the reason that that was so is because it does allow us to be identified without our knowledge or consent. So they don't have to bother with getting our consent, or in most cases, most people don't even know that when they go get, in the United States anyways, if you get any government-issued photo ID, by definition, that photograph taken by high-resolution digital image on that ID is a biometric suitable for use with facial recognition technology.
This is exactly right. This is so important. A lot of people probably don't know that they're having their biometrics taken when they go for government-issued ID in the United States and other places around the world where this is being standardized. So again, let's draw out some of the implications of this. Why is it an important issue that people are giving up this data to the governments?
Well, if I had to boil it down to one thing, I mean, we could talk about privacy, we could talk about many different aspects of this, but the thing I think that really stands out to me is when we are enrolled into such a system that uses literally our body as identification, it is impossible then to escape this system. And what is really at stake, if you were going to boil it down to one thing, is our autonomy, our ability to make decisions and control the direction of our lives. This identification is used as a credentialing system for more and more things all the time. For instance, if you wish to drive, if you wish to open a bank account, if you wish to do certain transactions, and if you look at the comprehensive immigration reform bill that is before Congress right now, if that bill passes, you will have to be authorized through the federal government, through the Department of Homeland Security, simply in order to work. And that authorization will hinge upon your biometric identification. And certainly, if you do not wish to submit to biometric information, you won't be able to get a job. And so it really comes down to, like I said, if I were going to nail one thing, it would be our autonomy, our ability to direct and control our own lives.
Exactly right. And it's important for people to understand that this is already underway. In fact, the Washington Post has already reported on how not only are 37 states in the United States now using facial recognition technology in their driver's license registries, at least 26 of those states allow state, local, or federal law enforcement agencies to search or request searches of photo databases. So this information is already not only being collected, but also being used by the so-called authorities to track and surveil people upon whom there's no criminal record at all.
That's right. And, you know, we can look at what's going on in the United States, but I know that you know this, and I know this from doing research. It parallels in almost every country. And for instance, we have the FBI in the United States that is going to be rolling out their next generation ID system in 2014. And facial recognition is a big feature of that system, but it includes other sorts of biometrics as well. And they're going to use those biometrics to connect and compile and aggregate all the data that they can get their hands on into a master file. And one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is the best and most complete biometric databases that have our biographical information that is verified and attached to that biometric resides in the State Department of Motor Vehicle databases. And it has always been the plan for the federal government to get access, to get open access to those databases. And that, in fact, is what is happening right now. And that is something that I want to stop. I want my biometrics out of the DMV databases. As you mentioned, I had no idea when they began doing this that I was having my facial biometrics taken at all. So I did not have informed consent, and I don't consent. And so I am trying to push back, and I am trying to get my biometrics removed from that database.
Exactly right. And this is so important. And again, for people who want more information about how this is all being accomplished, again, not only your work, but on my site, I've covered this before, talking about the global standardization of various IDs to make sure that biometrics will match up and there can be a global compliance standard for this. And that creates the global web. But it is important not only to identify the problem, but what can be done about it. And you are stepping up to the plate there in Oklahoma. You've launched a lawsuit to try to stop global biometric enrollment. Why don't you tell us about your lawsuit and where it's at right now?
Well, I did. I filed a lawsuit in 2011. And the way that came to be was that I'm kind of a reluctant activist. Like many people after 9/11, I watched what was happening and grew very concerned. And one of the things that particularly concerned me was the surveillance, the level of surveillance with CCTVs, internet surveillance, and all of these things that was just raining down on us. The changes in the law to where now policing and intelligence is one and the same. And we can see the fallout with that idea, the Patriot Act, NSA, but these things really concerned me. And when I heard about the Real ID Act, the Federal Real ID Act that was passed in 2005, and I mean, essentially what the Real ID Act wanted to do was to implement federal standards onto state driver's licenses, and you know, that we would have a lot of people would refer to it as a national ID. And I came to find out later that it's actually an international ID. But that issue, the Real ID Act, really disturbed me. And I decided long about late 2007 that I simply had to get involved and do whatever I could to stop this. This just couldn't be tolerated. I found it just a travesty against humanity that we would implement a national ID. And like I said, as I found out more, I grew even more concerned. So after years of doing everything I could think of, including blogging, having a radio show, lobbying at our state capitol for good legislation and trying to kill bad legislation, doing public speaking, everything that I could think of, in 2011, my driver's license came up for renewal. And I sat there and looked at that driver's license, and I simply knew at that point there was no way I could comply and that I was not going to get my license renewed. Well, I got stopped driving and was cited for driving without a valid license. And at that point, I got a lawyer and we took that to city court and they dismissed it, which left me exactly where I was prior to that, that I didn't have the legal right to drive at this point. And I was without a license, which, as you know, is basically the de facto identity document most people use. And I had trouble getting prescriptions, renting a hotel room, many, many things. And my daily life has changed quite a bit to work around not having a government-issued photo ID. And it gets harder all the time. So what I did was I filed, and this was in 2011, I filed a lawsuit against the state of Oklahoma for the unwarranted collection of my biometrics and for violating my religious freedom. Both of these things are protected under Oklahoma law. There's two causes of action in my lawsuit, and one of them is the Oklahoma Religious Freedom Act, and the second cause of action is Article 2, Section 30 of the Oklahoma Constitution, which is essentially a mirror of the U.S. Fourth Amendment, which gives you the right to be free of unwarranted searches and seizures. So that's what my lawsuit is about. Now, what I've done recently is I have filed a pre-trial motion for summary judgment. And what I'm doing in effect there is I'm taking the most irrefutable, the points of my case, which are not in question, the facts, and the strongest points of my case, and I'm presenting that to a judge and asking her to rule in my favor. Based on these facts, judge, it is apparent to me that my rights are being violated, and I'm asking for a ruling before we move on with the larger lawsuit. Now, I expect to win on this, and I don't know if you've read the motion for summary judgment. I think it is a very strong case. But if for some reason I don't win, the lawsuit will continue on. But the thing that I think is really important about this case is that, and I know, James, you have been watching to see, you know, what sort of fight people are going to put up. There are so many ways that biometric identification violates our rights. There's more ways than I can even number. So, but you haven't seen very many lawsuits that have opposed the biometric ID. And what I have found is that there is a reason for that. When our civil liberties are violated, customarily, you have to be able to show that your rights have actually been violated. And in this situation, if we wait until we can show proof and evidence that our First Amendment or our Fourth Amendment or our Fifth Amendment or any of our other rights have been violated, it will be too late, because as you have reported on many times, this is in fact a global system and it is being rolled out across the world. It is the same system due to international standards, and it's being rolled out across the world at a breathtaking speed. And so one of the strongest points about my lawsuit is the fact that in this motion for summary judgment, that this is a violation of my religious freedoms. That is something that is happening provably, inarguably, right now. My rights are being violated right now. And as a liberty activist, I work with so many people, including right, left, and everybody. And I find that people are a little squeamish about the religious argument. And, you know, this is one of those things that protecting the rights of one is protecting the rights of all. Of course, we know that. And if you want to have freedom, your freedom of religion is freedom of conscience. And if you want to have that freedom, freedom of or freedom from, it's the same side of the coin. And what I'm hoping is that people, there are a lot of people out there that oppose the system for many valid reasons. It is a terrible system. And I hope that they see the importance of this case. It is the only thing that I know of. It is the only lawsuit that I know of that has any legs whatsoever. And I think that we can win. And the important thing for people to understand is, but a win for me in this lawsuit, I want my biometrics out of that system, but I also want, if I can set the stage for others to be exempted, to have the right to opt out. If that happens, that could strike a huge blow against this, if you want to look at it on a national level or a global level, this biometric identification system of control by the very fact that if you have a national or an international system, everyone must be enrolled. Everyone has to be enrolled. And if you can carve out an exemption for any group of people and get that ball rolling, you've just put, you've just put a real monkey wrench into that system. And that's the reason that it's so important for people to get past whatever squeamishness they may have about the religious argument and support this case. And, you know?
Exactly right. I mean, it's important to understand the potential for this case to actually set precedent and to carve out that exception, as you talk about, for everyone involved in that system, of course, in the United States. And hopefully this would be an idea that would spread around the globe. And my hat's off to you for even attempting to live without government-issued ID. I can almost not imagine how difficult that must be in this day and age to accomplish. So it's an incredibly difficult thing to do. And of course, that means that the burden is on the people to actually stop complying with this biometric system. And you're exactly right. If we can carve out that legal exception, we're so much further towards getting that done. I understand you have legal counsel from the Rutherford Institute. Tell us about them and their involvement.
Yes, absolutely. I have a wonderful lawyer here in Oklahoma City who has a real heart for this issue in this case. But the lawsuit got the attention of the Rutherford Institute. And I have a great deal of respect for John Whitehead, who is the founder of that institute, and they signed on as legal counsel. And something amazing, too, that I'd like to tell people about is that the Rutherford Institute has pledged that if I win this case in Oklahoma, they will fund and help people in other states going forward to do the same. And I've talked to so many people all over the country that have these same objections to the system. And so I have a lot of high hopes for that. And I'm very, very happy that the Rutherford Institute is signed on. They are an amazing institute for protecting everyone's civil liberties.
Well, that is excellent to hear. And that only ups the stakes even that much more. So I certainly hope that this is successful. And as I understand, you filed for a motion of summary judgment. Can you give us a timeline on when you're expecting a verdict?
Yes, right now the hearing is scheduled for September, sometime mid-September. That may change because the state may choose to respond, and so they may ask for an extension or something like that. But at the moment, it's scheduled for September, and probably a good place to go if you want to keep up with the case is constitutionalalliance.org. You can find my motion for summary judgment and lots of other information about that case, including how to contact me and how to help. But you can also find all the information about the case. And when anything happens, it will be reported at constitutionalalliance.org.
Well, that's excellent. I'm certainly going to keeping my eye on it. So hopefully we can have you back on again to talk about this more as the case develops and hopefully is ruled in your favor. And let's just play a little bit of speculation for a moment, assuming that this actually does work in your favor and the verdict comes down that you have the exception. What will be next for Kay Beach? What will you do from there?
Well, that's interesting because, you know, I've had to prepare myself for the worst, which is that I wouldn't win. I really do think I'm going to win. I think this case is very strong. I have thought probably a little less about what I would do if I do win, but I know one thing. The battle would not be over then. We still have many ways that they want to track, tag, and identify every person on this earth as if they were inventory. They're not going to stop that. And I imagine that what I would do when I won was to invest myself in helping other people to fight as well and to keep, you know, doing public education and all the things that I have been doing, because this is a long-term battle. But the first thing that is on fire is protecting those biometric databases that are in the state, because they are very close to being set free. And once that happens, once those databases in the states are shared as a matter of course with the federal government, we know that the FBI has information sharing agreements with at least 77 countries. What people need to understand is that once that data is loosed from their state databases and let out to the federal and then the international level, at that point, permanent enrollment has occurred. And this is permanent enrollment into what is really a single global biometric identification system that links a person's body to their ability to buy, to sell, to travel, to work, it looks like, and many other things that we need to do just to live and get by every day. And so we've got to stop this, and we've got to act quickly and get this done. But if I win, I will still be fighting this battle on some level, I'm sure.
Well, unfortunately, that is the sad truth, that the fight is never over completely, because they're always trying to push around the edges. But at any rate, we can achieve victory. We can push them back. We can stop their agenda, just like the Real ID Act was derailed, and they're now trying to implement it in more covert, by more covert means. Well, Kay, we are going to be keeping our eye on this, so we will have you back on to continue talking about this case in the future. But in the meantime, why don't you tell people about your website and your radio program?
Yes, you can go to axiomforliberty.com, and that's axiom with two X's and F-O-R, liberty.com, and you can find out more. I'm on a hiatus right now from my radio show for probably about the next 4 weeks, but normally I am on every Friday from 6 to 8, and you can also find an archives of my show, and if you click on the dates, you can see what the subject of the show was and maybe find some interesting things in there. And there you go. So it's axiomforliberty.com is the easiest place. You can also find me on Facebook. My name is Kay Beach. And if I have room for friends, I would definitely bring you in and love to hear from other people who understand what's going on and they're wanting to fight it. And I know there's a lot of people out there.
There certainly are. And on behalf of all those people, I want to thank you for taking up the mantle and doing this and getting this lawsuit filed. So hopefully we will see some success. And as I say, we will be keeping our eye on this. So Kay Beach, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, James. And all your information has been enormously valuable to me, putting the pieces together, and I know to a lot of other people. And thank you so much for what you do.